Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at TheMeatEater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by special guests Dr. Brad Tennant and Tommy Edson. In addition to Brad and Tommy, we also have Steve, Giannis, Cal, Brody, and Chester. Now, Brad, how do you feel about trivia? You seem like a trivia-going fellow.
I think he's going to kick ass, man.
We'll see. We'll see.
A lot of people lose from that seat, Brad.
Now, Tommy, Steve has said that you told him.
That seat has only won once.
I think you might be right. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a new stat we're going to have to be keeping.
Bad seat, Brad. Oh. That's a winner corner over there. This is a hot little winning spot right here, Brad.
Now, Tommy, Steve has said that you told him you always win, but then Steve walked it back a couple episodes ago. So here's your chance to set the record straight. How often, when you play trivia on lunch break, are you winning?
I've won three.
That's pretty dang good.
I've won three.
And how are you normally doing otherwise?
In the top two or three. You know, I had one really bad week, that week with Cam, man. I think I only got three right.
Mm. Did you beat Cam?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to how many. I don't look at who's behind me when I'm running. You
know. Now, what about your coworkers that you play with? Are they sharp?
You know, we really don't play in the last 3-4 weeks. We don't really play anymore. I just kind of keep score along with myself and play along anymore.
They just got sick of losing to you? Or?
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I don't know.
And you had to quit going. You used to go to your local trivia night and you quit.
Yeah, we got a local kind of watering hole bar not far from the house that has trivia night on Tuesday nights. I don't go in there anymore.
Why not?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of like, you know, you don't want to be that dude that's like,
Oh, no?
Yeah, I don't want to be that dude.
You don't say it.
I'll just shut up. Well, I mean, maybe some people do. I don't want to be that
guy. We don't have any experience with a guy like that.
I don't want to be that guy. Yeah, I'll just shut up.
Now, Steve has really hyped you up. And, like, you're representing every listener who's ever thought they could come on this show and win. So, no pressure, but there's a lot of pressure. Because if you don't do well, I don't know if we'll have another listener back.
Okay. Oh, well, man.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
That's fine. Really lays it out thick.
Like I said right before you turned that machine on, man, I'm an iceberg. 90% of it's under the surface. You'll see. Go ahead. hit the drop.
Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from our four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, in our last episode, I put a call out to help with compiling trivia stats, and our listeners answered in a big way. We told you to send an email to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line, "Suck it, Spencer," if you were willing to collect data from previous games of trivia. In the 2 days since that aired, we got 503 emails with "Spencer can suck it" as the subject line.
God, that's got to, like, psychologically, that's really got to take a toll on a guy, man. I mean, to scroll through that. You know, just
every notification
again and again and again and again. Yeah.
On Wednesday morning from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., we were averaging 1.6 emails per minute with that subject line. So it was hot. So Steve's wish has been granted. We finally have a library of Meat Eater trivia stats. Now, I'm not going to drop them all right now, but we'll introduce a new stat each time we play. For today, we're going to reveal each player's winning percentage as Steve requested. This is the amount of times that they've won Meat Eater Trivia tracked against the number of times they've played. So here it is.
This is a titillating little...
In first place is Dustin Huff, of course. He's played once and won once, so he's at 100%. That's followed by Steve, who has won 36% of the games that he's played. Brody at 33%. Giannis at 30%. Clay at 25%. Seth and Chester at 13%. And Corinne at 8%. Now, everyone else whose name I didn't say is at 0%. Sorry, Cal.
I do one complaint per show now. I don't know if you know this. This is today's complaint. And it hasn't even happened yet. So I might really be biting my tongue later. Stop saying Corinne won. It was the April Fool's joke in which you gave her the answers. You got to expunge her from the board. Okay? It's like the joke's over.
She still gets the win.
Whatever.
Now everyone else whose name I didn't say is at 0%. So Steve is leading the pack at 36%.
Of who's present right now?
Yes. Congrats, well, Steve. Of everybody, though. And Brody's only a few percent points behind that. Giannis is right behind him. So It's tight. It's real tight.
I'm ready.
Now, in a previous game of trivia, we had a question about the Mark Twain National Forest. After the answers were revealed, this happened next. Play the clip, Phil. The correct answer is Missouri.
I know somebody that went to it.
Yeah, you know what I think we should
do? Plunkett.
If I can name what town he was born in, I get a point.
You can tell us the name, but we will not give you a point. What was it?
Hannibal, Missouri.
Hannibal.
Now, about 20 folks wrote in to let me know that despite Steve's confidence, Mark Twain was not born in Hannibal, Missouri.
Wow, he spent a lot of time there, maybe.
Instead, he was born in Florida, Missouri, which is about 40 miles from Hannibal, where Mark Twain grew up. So he was born in Florida, but raised in Hannibal.
Good thing I didn't get the point.
Also on a previous show, we had a question about the Daredevil fishing lure. In the follow-up factoid, I said that the Germans referred to the U.S. Marines as daredevils because of their fierce fighting style. What they actually called them was Teufelhunden, which translates to devil dogs, not daredevils. Getting that wrong showed me how many Marines we have listening to the show, which happens to be a lot. They adamantly wanted to correct that one. They were not referred to as daredevils. They were called devil dogs.
Yeah, it's worse to be getting chased by a devil dog than a daredevil, I think.
There you go. With that, we're on to game trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one. This will be multiple choice. The topic is woodsmanship.
Oh, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
It's not to complain.
Okay.
It's not to complain. Our new calendar fucked up old taxidermy. You can come for the taxidermy and stay for the trivia. Because every month in the calendar, there's baked in trivia.
And when is that calendar coming out?
September.
I feel like we're way ahead of the game this year.
I'm teasing it.
I like it.
All right, go on.
Question one, this will be multiple choice, and the topic is woodsmanship. Which of these is not a real Boy Scouts badge?
Oh, jeez.
Hunting, fishing, conservation, or cooking? Which of these is not a real Boy Scouts badge? Hunting, fishing, conservation, or cooking? Three of our four verticals are a merit badge you can earn. One of them is not.
No shit.
Was anybody in this room a Boy Scout?
Your boy was.
See,
this was not written for Tommy.
No, is that a throw to Tommy?
It was not. No. It was not written for Tommy. Yanni, you were a Boy Scout?
Yes, sir.
You guys feeling confident?
No.
Did you write
not
it?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. You didn't write it cockily.
Does anybody have an answer?
I was a lad.
Brad's got quite the grin on his face.
He's got a big grin
you
on his face.
Boy Scout background? Oh.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying hunting, Steve saying hunting, Brad saying cooking, Tommy saying hunting, Brody saying hunting, Chester saying conservation, and Cal saying hunting. The correct answer is hunting.
Oh, a lot of winners. What'd you have, Tommy?
I had hunting.
Although there's no hunting badge, they do offer merit badges for rifle shooting, shotgun shooting,
archery,
and mammal study. There are 138 badges in total, and some of the weirdest are basketry, bugling, coin collecting, dentistry, fingerprinting, nuclear science, and plumbing. Wow.
Dentistry.
Did you boys earn any of those?
Oh, yeah, nuclear science. No.
I didn't. Do you know that story? Do you know the story of the kid they call him the radioactive boy scout?
No.
That was he got a Geiger counter and stuff, and he was going around collecting radioactive materials and keeping it in his mom's shed. And it wound up becoming like a major case. I mean, they hauled away his yard.
Whoa.
When they did the cleanup.
And he was the radioactive Boy Scout.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because the atomic energy thing.
I bet he got his nuclear
science.
He was going around
antique shops getting the old style of thermometers.
Wow.
And he built up a huge collection of radioactive materials. Like I said, he'd ride around with a Geiger counter on his dashboard.
What was his ultimate goal there?
I can't remember. I know the writer, Ken Silverstein, I think, wrote the piece called Radioactive Boy Scout in Harper's. Go on.
Question two, the topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Troy Allard. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the colorful nickname biologists gave Lake Winnipeg's world-famous walleye?
What?
What is the colorful nickname biologists gave Lake Winnipeg's world-famous walleye? Thank gosh. You like that one, Chester?
Yeah.
Anybody else as confident as Chester is? No.
I know what my old man used to call him in Lake Erie.
You've been generous with some hints lately, Brody.
Well, that's not a hint.
Yeah, Brody's got to cut that shit back, man.
What? That's not a hint.
His hint was, my dad used to call him something.
In a different lake.
One more time. What is the colorful nickname biologists gave Lake Winnipeg's world-famous walleye? Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Keep the walleye questions coming.
Thank you.
Does everyone know Steve's board has Suck It Brody written on the back?
I love it that it his board says Suck It Brody because I know I'm getting in his head.
Oh, yeah. Because you are in there, buddy.
All right. Does everybody now have an answer?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying Walter, Steve saying Rainbow Walleye, Brad without an answer, Tommy saying Wally Gator, Brody saying yellow pike, Chester saying greenbacks, and Cal saying blue eyes. The correct answer is greenbacks.
Chester, congratulations, man.
Winnipeg's walleye are famously emerald green thanks to the limestone substrate that fills the lake. If you want to see some greenbacks get caught, then check out Season 2, Episode 3 of the Canadian Angle on Meat Eater's YouTube channel where Jay Siemens and Josh McFadden icefish Lake Winnipeg. We are on to question 3. The topic is explorers.
Oh, here's where Brad gets thrown a bone.
Underhanded mush ball.
Thomas Jefferson kept this mammal as a pet, which he received from Lewis and Clark partway through their expedition.
Say the question again.
Thomas Jefferson kept this mammal as a pet, which he received from Lewis and Clark partway through their expedition.
Son of a bitch.
Brad, how you feel about this one?
He's doing a lot of writing.
Again, Thomas Jefferson kept this mammal
Brad,
as a pet.
Can you write it again, Brad?
Are you putting your sources down too, Brad?
Which he received from Lewis and Clark partway through their expedition. I had about 5 trivia questions written about Lewis and Clark. The other 4 all got covered on the last podcast, so I couldn't use them. Thankfully, you didn't go into this detail, so you saved me something for trivia. Does everybody have an answer?
No.
What are you going to do if Brad's answer is this is didn't actually happen?
I will take the loss then. I was telling Chester before the show, I think this might be a hard batch. We may need to establish a Shelby line for trivia because I always play with her before I come to the show. And it kind of helps me understand how difficult or easy the batch is. And usually she does about half as well as the winner. And she got three of these right. So the winner today would be expected to get six based on the Shelby barometer. Does everybody have an answer?
Yep.
I'm writing, but yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying antelope, Steve saying buffalo calf, Brad saying prairie dog, Tommy saying squirrel, Brody saying badger, Chester saying raccoon, and Cal saying prairie dog. The correct answer is prairie dog.
Everybody knows that one, Brad, but I'm in good company.
The prairie dog was shipped with four magpies and a ruffed grouse, but only one magpie and the prairie dog survived the journey. Jefferson was reportedly delighted and entertained by the prairie dog, which he had taxidermied after its death. The stuffed prairie dog was eventually sold to P.T. Barnum, who kept it at his New York museum that burned down in 1865.
Too bad we don't have that one in the calendar.
Was the remaining magpie very fat?
I don't know.
Eating everybody else?
I don't know what happened to that one. Now, did you intimately know that story, Brad?
I did. They actually spent most of the day trying to catch one magpie, or it's going to be one prairie dog. And that night, after they did catch one, they had it for supper.
Oh.
Lewis and Clark. Could have been much of a meal, but they did.
Do you know how they caught him? Did they, like, drown him out of the hole?
They started digging them out at first, and that wasn't working. So then they had the men start bringing buckets of water and trying to flood them out. And at the end of the day, they had one prairie dog.
Like our kids, we called that ottering. Huh. They come up looking like an otter.
No. Question four, the topic is cooking. About 60% of people with this allergy developed it as an adult, making it the most common food allergy among adult Americans. About 60% of people with this allergy develop it as an adult, making it the most common food allergy among adult Americans. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying milk. Steve saying, what does that say?
Dairy.
Dairy. Brad saying peanut butter. Tommy saying nuts. Brody saying dairy. Chester saying shellfish. And Cal saying peanuts. We have a diverse group of answers. The correct answer is shellfish.
No.
What?
That is such 50/50. Bullshit. 60% of people aren't allergic to shellfish.
No, 60% of people who developed the allergy got it as an adult.
Yeah.
No, you said
that's not what you said, man.
The question about was not 60, worded that way.
About 60% of people with this allergy develop it as an adult, making it the most common food allergy among adult Americans.
You know, I got it wrong too, guys.
So it's the most common. You're saying it's the most common food allergy among Americans.
Adult Americans.
Read the sentence to me again, man.
All right. Yeah, Phil, you go ahead and read.
I'm getting a little riled up.
He's looking at the script.
Okay. About 60% of people with this allergy develop it as an adult, making it the most common food allergy among adult Americans.
Listen, dude, shellfish is not the most common. There's no way that's the most common food allergy among adult Americans.
You're gonna need to argue with the study that put out this stat.
We need to Google that right now.
I know the reason is there's so many varying levels of shellfish allergy. I'm allergic to shellfish.
What'd you write?
I wrote nuts.
About 7.2 million adult Americans have a shellfish allergy. That's followed by milk at 4.7 million, peanuts at 4.5 million, tree nuts at 3 million, and finned fish at 2.2 million. Scientists aren't sure why shellfish allergies don't develop until adulthood, but suspect it has something to do with hormones and environmental triggers.
Whatever.
I guess that one because I compare... I have that conversation very often with folks.
Mm. Now, are you allergic to shellfish or finned fish or both?
Finned.
So you can eat shellfish?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I can take any questions about Chester's allergy.
Question five, the topic is conservation. We'll get a scoreboard update after this. This next great question comes to us from Chris Ford. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The 1959 federal duck stamp is the only one in history that features a dog. What kind of dog was it?
What year?
1959. The 1959 federal duck stamp is the only one in history that features a dog. What kind of dog was it? Now, I'm looking for a specific answer, so if you thought the answer was deer, you wouldn't write deer, you would write white-tailed deer or mule deer.
Well, that gives it away, doesn't it, Spencer?
No, it does not.
It's as simple as the most common allergy.
Again, this
for adults who got it as adults.
The 1959 federal duck stamp is the only one in history that features a dog. What kind of dog is it? Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Steve saying a Chesapeake Bay. Brad saying a Cocker Spaniel. Tommy saying a Black Lab. Brody saying a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Chester saying a Golden Retriever. And Cal saying a Black Lab. The correct answer is Black Lab.
Oh, son
damn
of
it.
Wow, this
God,
is...
God, I'm having a bad game, man.
Shelby's oh, that was a gimme.
The Federal Duck Stamp Competition encouraged artists that year to submit designs that featured a dog. They wanted to emphasize the dog's role in retrieving wounded ducks and hoped it would get more hunters to use them.
Hmm.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. We are halfway through the game of trivia.
All right, tied for third place with 1 point each are Steve, Giannis, Brody, and Brad. And then in second place with 2 points, we have Chester and Tommy tied up. And in first place with 3 is Ryan Callahan.
Cal, going for his first
win. Plenty of game left.
How does it feel, Cal?
This is by far and away not the first time I've been ahead of everyone at this point.
Oh, really? So you like choke later.
It's not choking. I just think the next step, instead of picking the easiest answer.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
You're like, I'll show them guys.
Right. And Spencer missed a big part here. And, you know, if you considered 1969 and what was going on.
It was 59.
Oh, yeah, exactly. pretty simple.
The hippies weren't here yet.
Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, even at the grocery store. It's the ultimate convenience. It's delivered right to your doorstep, meaning less trips to the grocery store because you're prepared. You got a freezer loaded with a bunch of recipe-ready cuts of meat. It makes making dinner at night so much easier. The stuff is well-packaged, easy to thaw. It just encourages good home cooking. You'll have a hard time finding this kind of savings at the grocery store, and you'll get exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks, and free shipping. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/meateater, and then use code meateater to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure to use code meateater. Hey, heads up all you anglers. Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in Montana, based in Helena. After building custom fly rods for more than 25 years, Montana native and lifelong fly fisherman Scott Joyner decided to apply his knowledge in designing 3 performance-driven fly rod models. These rods were designed to be performance rods and to withstand the abuse that a fishing guide's equipment endures day in, day out. Their fly rods are named after Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks fishing access sites, which is such a cool idea. And each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Montana Casting Company fly rods have been developed to achieve the perfect balance of performance, durability, and legacy quality craftsmanship. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MeatEater20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount.
Question six, the topic is hunting. Four states have the black bear as their official state mammal. Name one of them, and I'll give you a hint. Two of these states border each other. Four states have the black bear as their official state mammal. Name one of them. And again, two of these states are touching. Four states have the black bear as their official state mammal. Name one of them. How we doing? Does everybody have an answer?
Not happy, man.
I have an answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying Maine, Steve saying Kentucky, Brad saying Wyoming, Tommy saying North Carolina, Brody saying Vermont, Chester saying Pennsylvania, and Cal saying Oregon. The four states are Alabama, Louisiana, New Mexico, and West Virginia. Son, so I think we went an offer there. Nobody got it right.
No way! Oh, that's embarrassing.
Pretty soon there's not going to be enough questions left to catch, Cal.
New Mexico was the first to do it in 1963, and Alabama was the latest to do it in 2006. Besides those four states with black bears, California and Montana have grizzlies as their official state mammal.
Was the teddy bear incident, was that in Alabama?
I thought Mississippi.
Oh, it was in Mississippi. Yeah.
Question seven. The topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us from Tyrell Miner. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The roots of this invasive plant were used as a coffee bean alternative by Confederate soldiers. The flavor was described as bitter with nutty notes and hints of sweet potato. The roots from this invasive plant were used as a coffee bean alternative by Confederate soldiers. The flavor was described as bitter with nutty notes and hints of sweet potato. Steve, you had a pretty quick answer. You know this one?
Phil, if I get this right, where does that put me?
If you're the only one to get it right, you're still not.
What was the category in that one? Cooking?
Foraging.
Foraging.
Foraging. The roots. Again, the roots of this invasive plant were used as a coffee bean alternative by Confederate soldiers. Does everybody have an answer?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying chicory, Steve saying dandelion, Brad saying bitterroot, Tommy saying ginseng, Brody saying phragmites, Chester saying wild mustard, and Cal saying chicory. The correct answer is dandelion or chicory. They did both.
Oh, you are shitting me. Well, I mean, I got it right, but you can't give it to the chicory people.
I can give it to chicory people.
I have never.
They use dandelion and chicory.
I used to be obsessed with the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever have I heard of dandelion root being a substitute for coffee.
Well, my kids have a bag of this stuff called Dandy Blend, and it's like kid coffee made out of dandelion root.
Oh, yeah. Tracy Crane used to serve that to me.
Confederate soldiers referred to this as Lincoln's coffee, citing the president who cut off their supply to the real stuff. Other coffee bean alternatives the Southern soldiers used included acorns, asparagus, beech nuts, fig, potato peels, and cigar butts.
Oof.
That's a good one.
Question eight, we'll get a scoreboard update after this. The topic is biology. Now, this is a riddle that you need to solve.
What'd you write for that last one there, Tommy?
I wrote ginseng.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the topic is biology, and you need to solve this riddle. A woodchuck's is blue, a bullfrog's is green, a walleye's is white, a barn owl's is red, and an armadillo doesn't have it at all. What is it?
Hit me again.
A woodchuck's is blue, a bullfrog's is green, a walleye's is white, a barn owl's is red, and an armadillo doesn't have it at all. What is it?
Did you think of this, Spencer, or is this some sort of old, you know, saying?
I thought of this.
I love it.
He was, he's like, he's thinking of that, like, something borrowed, something blue.
Talking about my tiki drink poem I told you about?
Oh, yeah, tell me that again.
One of sour, two of sweet, three of strong, four of weak. It's a, you know, you can use that formula.
I like it.
For a tiki drink.
Mixology formula.
Yeah. One more time. A woodchuck's is blue, a bullfrog's is green, a walleye's is white, a barn owl's is red, and an armadillo doesn't have it at all. Does everybody have an answer?
Where does this put me, Phil? I got it right.
We'll have to wait for the scoreboard update after the question.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying tongue, Steve saying skin, Brad saying eye color, Tommy without an answer, Brody saying eye color, Chester saying tail, and Cal saying skin. Nobody got it right.
What?
The correct answer is eye shine.
Oh, wow.
This is caused by a reflective membrane at the back of the eyes. Some of the animals that have no eye shine at all include brown bats, feral hogs, and humans. And if you were wondering, according to the crypto community, the eye shine for Bigfoot, vampires, and El Chupacabra is red. Do you feel deceived?
Yeah, a little bit.
You think you'd have got it if you got a few more guesses?
No.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Tied for third place with 1 point, we have Brad and Brody. In second place, all tied up with 2 points, we have Chester, Giannis, Steve, and Tommy. And in first place with 4 points is Ryan Callahan. So in order for anyone to beat Cal, he'll have to get the next question wrong, and either Chester, Giannis, Steve, or Tommy will have to get it right.
Question 9, the topic is public lands. What is the top cause of death in national parks? I'll give you a hint, it is not vehicle related. Again, what is the top cause of death in national parks? And it has nothing to do with vehicles. Cal, how you feeling?
Lukewarm.
And who needs to catch him? Tommy?
I feel hot.
Okay.
Tommy, Steve, Yanni, and Chester all have a chance to catch up.
Was that a tip, Steve?
No.
No?
Oh, hyperthermia? There's no way it's hyperthermia.
Cal, you have an answer.
I got a bunch of answers.
Okay, you gonna pick
just
one?
It's like you wanted to be precise or expansive.
Just one.
Expansive would probably be the Brody strategy.
Again, what is the top cause of death in national parks? Does everybody have an answer?
Yep.
No. Let me write down this last word.
How many words you got?
Ready?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying drowning, Steve saying heart attack, Brad saying falling, Tommy saying heart attack, Brody saying heart attack, Chester saying heart attack, Cal saying allergic reaction.
That could be it, Cal.
That could be it.
I was going to say that's exposure. A good guess.
The correct answer is drowning.
Oh! Son of a...
Did anyone get it?
Yanni got it.
Were they counting heart attacks in that?
This is from a mortality study done by the National Park Service. Drowning was overwhelmingly the top cause of death, followed by motor vehicle crashes, falls, natural causes, and suicide. The deadliest national park of them all is North Cascades National Park in Washington, which has a death rate 6 times greater than Alaska's Denali National Park, which is second place.
Just so it means more outdoorsy type folks go to Denali National Park. That's what it means to me. Everybody else is closer to their vehicle.
North Cascades National Park is also one of the least visited national parks, and it was on the trivia. I think that's week right. one or week two.
That's
so
right.
only one Named person drowned there.
Named two of the national parks, and one of them was North Cascades.
What'd you put down?
That week?
No, right now.
Right, just now I wrote heart attack.
Phil, give us a scoreboard update.
Cal still in first place with 4 points, but Giannis has 3. So if Yanni gets the next one right and Cal gets it wrong, then we've got a tiebreaker.
Question 10, the topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us from John Schlesinger. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Tenkara is a fishing style that was invented 400 years ago in the small mountain streams of what country? Tenkara is a fishing style that was invented 400 years ago.
Is it though?
That was invented 400 years ago in the small mountain streams of what country? I think the way I'm supposed to say it is like Tenkara, like that.
Oh, come on. Don't start doing that.
Doing what?
Like, they're putting a little...
That doesn't sound very Spanish.
I
want to
make sure I heard it right.
That doesn't sound very Spanish to me.
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Tenkara is a fishing style.
Come on, Chester.
Chester, supposed big fishing guy.
In the small mountains.
Guess he doesn't fish that much after all.
Weren't you a fishing guide? I heard you were a fishing guide.
I was.
Yeah. Guess he doesn't like fishing too much at all. Guide? Does he now, Phil?
Forgot everything he knew.
Or did he never know?
I don't love Tenkara.
Okay, no, me neither.
I mean,
you don't need to love it.
They don't want you putting a big old crawler on there for a while.
I don't love Satan. I know he lives in hell.
They don't want you putting a reel on there.
Everybody's done. Come on.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying Japan, Steve saying Japan, Brad saying India, Tommy saying Japan, Brody saying Japan, Chester saying Russia, Cal saying Japan. The correct answer is Japan.
However he said it.
Cal gets his first victory.
Yay! Congratulations, Cal.
Now, we have been on a very cold streak of overtime. I've had these same overtime questions banked up, I think, for like four straight episodes.
Let's do
it. Still hasn't happened.
The game's really changed, man.
Did it?
Like, I used to dominate.
Not a fan of the fixed.
I used to dominate.
Figure out the riddle.
Now you don't.
There was a lot of overtime. Oh, no, it went into overtime when Huff won.
It did, but that was like four games ago. Yeah. We've been on a cold streak of no overtime. Now, Cal, you're not familiar with this process.
Oh,
but what happens
next? Let's hear the final scorecard. Hear the final scorecard.
Well, I think you just mean you would like to know where you stood amongst your peers.
If you could throw that in within the general mix, you know.
Brad had one, Brody had two, Steve had three, along with Tommy, Yanni had four. Chester also had two. Giannis, you had four, and Cal had five.
So I beat tell me again who I beat.
It doesn't matter. And Spencer predicted that the winner here would have six. All were below.
I do. Fiver. I feel great for you, Cal, but it's pretty low winning score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Cal, what happens next is you get to pick where a $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
Well, because of the access issues that we have going on in the state here, I'm in between Public Land Water Association, which is a fantastic org, and Montana BHA for a litany of elk and public land issues. So I'm going to go with Montana BHA, Montana chapter of BHA.
There we go. I don't think they've gotten a meat eater $500 donation yet. So good on you.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't hire people from Montana in this office, so I understand how we're missing that out.
That's it, Brad and Tommy. Thanks for playing. Tommy, you think you represented the listeners well? Should we invite more back?
I mean, Steve didn't beat me. We ended up neck and neck, so I think we're all right.
Brad and Tommy, thanks for playing. Join us next time for more Music and Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.